Good evening.
Good evening.
Do you have any questions for me tonight?
No.
Okay.
But I always check because sometimes the other questions spark a question.
That's always true. So we'll just wait for some others to come on.
Okay. I did find my folder. I'm looking at it now on my flash drive. What I did was I excerpted the steps that you had written with the bedtime Shema, and that Yibum meditation is in that section. So I have that as a file. And then I have the verse,
right,
several on the page to make as bookmarks.
Good evening, Jasmine. Do you have any questions for tonight?
Not really.
Okay. We'll wait for some others to come on who might have questions.
Okay.
I hope you didn't feel beat up today when I answered your question.
Not really. No. No, no.
Okay. Good. I try not
to
beat people up.
Huh?
I try not to beat people up anymore.
Well, I thought of a good answer to whenever you say, do you want me to spoon feed you?
What's
Thank
the
you
answer?
Class. And that was, how about a teaspoonful? Or a tablespoonful. At least put us on the path.
Well, maybe we may ask, you know, dumb questions or something like that, but that's the way it is. You have to ask.
No, I want you to ask. Your questions are good. That wasn't the point. But it's a question that if the question you asked, if I had given you that answer, just without that introduction, you know, you were getting the answer, but you weren't thinking about why it's important. So
yeah,
that was the reasoning why I asked the question about, do you want to be spoon-fed?
Well, why not?
But I'm glad you didn't. You don't want to be spoon-fed, or you want to be spoon-fed?
Oh, once in a while it's not bad.
Especially when it's three classes a day. I'm trying to remember what was in the one before it. Oh, no.
I believe somebody else came on, but they don't understand what we're laughing about. So if somebody wants to identify themselves or they have another question, we can move on to that. And then I'll explain why we're laughing.
This is Malka. I understand what you're laughing, and I'm like Jasmine. I like to be spoon-fed from time to time, too.
I'm in big trouble. I gotta spoon-feed people from time to
time.
Just think of it.
Now we can say, well, give us a teaspoon or give us a tablespoon. Or you tell us you'll give us a teaspoonful.
I consider it dessert.
Right.
There you go.
The teaspoon is dessert?
Whichever. Well, I'll take teaspoon.
All right. From now on, I'll give teaspoons, but not tablespoons.
Okay. It reminds me of what Shlomo Carbach said one time. He loved ice cream, but he would eat it with a toothpick. I probably shouldn't tell you that, because that's even less than a teaspoon.
Well, now I know how I'm going to answer.
A toothpick.
Who came on? When, does anybody have any outright new questions? Or even old questions? It's not about spoons feeding. Anybody have any questions?
I'll have just one. We were talking about evil eye earlier.
Yeah.
But also, can you read someone's facial features, as in, I think I read somewhere where there's wrinkles in the forehead or markings on the hand or on the ear or the hair color.
That's correct. All of those statements are correct. But what is your question? It's called face and hand reading.
Yeah. Would that signify, I mean, those type of features or markings? Could we, and I know it goes deeper, a deeper study, more than what I understand at this point. But, yeah.
Comes under the understanding that you don't do it on other people, you know, that you do it on yourself. Is that right?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
To answer Malka's question, if you go on the Zohar classes for the Parsha of Yitro, the first 12 sections of Parshat Yitro in the Zohar is explaining face and hand reading. Then on the Daily Zohar, he's done some face and hand reading based on what he has learned from some other teachers. But essentially what it is, everything is on your face and your hands, the lines of your hands, the lines on the back of your, you know, the fingers, not just on your palm side, but on the back side as well. All of those lines have meanings. All of the marks on your hands, if you have a beauty mark, if you have a, you know, at one point I had a white mark. If you have a white mark on your nail that starts at the bottom and is growing, if you have a black mark in your nail, all of these things have meaning. On your forehead, there are 32 lines. Potentially, when someone is fully corrected, the 32 lines are really indicating changes that body has gone through, that the soul inhabiting that body has gone through. So the question is, if someone is an expert, what most people do who become quote-unquote experts is they charge fees to give people a reading, just like an astrology reading. But who is an expert? How do you become an expert? Because a lot of the information is when you see Hebrew letters on the forehead. And they're momentary. They're there and then they're gone. As an example, if somebody is doing a righteous action with a righteous consciousness, they're going to be showing a tzadi, the letter tzadi on their forehead. But as soon as their consciousness changed, this tati disappears. Now, in modern days, we have Chinese medicine, where the practitioner will touch your, try and feel your pulse. And based on what he feels or she feels in your pulse, is telling you what ailments you have. And all of that is part of face and hand reading. It came from Abraham. It came from the Kabbalah. It came from Hashem. But it's been lost, except it's not lost. There's always been practitioners, people who utilize these tools. The question is, do you have a desire to become an expert in face and hand reading? And if you do, you will practice it, you will work at it, you will study it, and you'll be able to see the letters in the face. And the Zohar is going through it. We did the forehead class this past Parasha Yitro. So you have a sense of it. That I believe is the eighth section. There's four other sections that deal with these issues. The lines on the hands and the lines on the forehead, the letters on the forehead, the pulse, all of these things are there. And a lot of that information is available in Chinese medicine. So somebody has to go learn it, but to bring it back to make it kosher, you have to go through a process. Because what Chinese medicine per se came out of Abraham, it came with the five children of Abraham and Keturah, who he sent to the east, but over the centuries the information became corrupted. And so it somewhat is true, some of it is true, some of it is based on idol worshiping. And so it has to be cleansed to be able to be used as kosher face and hand reading. But the wisdom is there. The light is there, concealed by the corruption. So what's in the Zohar is a base to start. But you have to, if you want to learn this, you have to expand out and learn it from other cultures that got it from Abraham originally, that we haven't done it, or by practicing based on what the Zohar tells us, you start to get a more expansive connection so that you can utilize the Zohar information as an expert face and hand reading. There was one person in the Kabbalah Center that he truly had that desire. And he spent hours with Rabbi Berg. He spent hours with Rabbi Berg studying those sections of the Zohar. And if you want to ask the question, why is the Zohar talking about face and hand reading in the Parasha of Yitro? On the surface level, the beginning of Yitro starts out talking about how Moses was making a mistake by doing all of the judgments. When people had disputes, they would come to him, and they were standing long hours, and he was standing long hours, and it was wearing him down. And Yitro said to his son-in-law, you should pick people. And he gives a whole rendition of the qualities that Moses should look for. You should pick people who are not corruptible, who could be judges over 10 families, judges over 50 families, judges over 100 families and so forth. And you should pick these people, and then people can bring their disputes to the judges, and the judges will make a decision, and if they don't like it, they'll go to a higher level judge. That was Yitro's suggestion on the surface level of the Torah. But the Zohar explains, you have to. How did Moses know what, when he would look at someone, whether they would make a good judge or whether they would be corrupted, whether they would take a bribe, you know, or they would be impressed with the status of a person. And so that's why the Zohar in those first 12 sections is explaining face and hand reading. So I'm not sure if you asked me if I did it. And if you did ask me that, the answer to that question is, I monitor the changes in my hands. And I monitor the changes in my forehead, in my face. Because that helps me know what changes I have gone through and am going through. But would I apply it to somebody else? I don't think I have the facility. I haven't the skill, the connection to Hashem, that my intuition isn't correct yet. Will it grow to be correct? Probably not, because this is not an area where I have a strong desire to be correct, to learn this. I'm not saying I won't learn it, because I have learned some. And I utilize it for as it applies to myself. But I don't think, in comparison, myself comparing myself to the person who truly had the desire to learn this material, I'm not at that level. I don't have that strong of desire like he did. So I hope I haven't confused you, but I think I've brought it all clear, unless you have further questions.
I have a question, Hanok.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
Are there books that go deeper into teaching this hand and face reading and all that?
Yes. You can go to the library. There's probably 100 books written on the subject, some from China, some from India, some from Burma. They're all different books over the years.
Ooh,
and they have differences that gets you confused. So you need to be careful with it. But if you have the desire, go to the public library or go Google it. You'll find a lot of information about it.
Thank you.
But I would start with those first 12 sections of the Zohar on the Parasha of Yitro.
Anok.
Yes.
As you age, you tend to get wrinkles everywhere, but more so in the face and the neck area. You tend to get deeper markings. Is that called correction? I mean, we do as we age. Most of us, I won't say all.
When your soul came into your body on the day you were born, or in your mother's womb, that physical form of your body is a manifestation of the soul. Now, as your soul changes, we've discussed in the reincarnation classes, as your soul changes, you go to sleep, all of the different parts of your soul go upstairs, And then in the morning, not all of them may come back. Some of them have made their correction. And so there are different components that have make up your soul. And when those components have become sufficient, you will feel a desire to have your name changed. You no longer feel like you should be called by that name. It's also true that the way your physical form is will be changed by the soul content of the physical form of your body. And so the purposes of those lines, the purposes of the lines in the forehead primarily, but also in other parts of your body, it is expressing the changes in your soul, the parts of your soul that have become corrupted. Now, I also have seen a description that describes the skin of our bodies as relating to the all of the universe is depicted on our skin. So we get a beauty mark somewhere on our leg. All of a sudden, we didn't have a beauty mark in that position, now we do. And then, you know, we have hair when we went through puberty, is, you know, on a male on his chest, and then that hair falls out. All of these changes to our skin is reflecting the changes in the universe. Both it's on the micro level, it's reflecting the changes in your soul. On the macro level, it's depicting the changes in the universe. Are there people who can read that clearly? Depends on their connection to Hashem. It depends on their intuition. Depends on their practice. But all of those changes have meaning. Just whether you have the knowledge to interpret the meanings.
Right. I know when a newborn comes into the world, they're wrinkled. You know, their little skins, their little foreheads, you know, they're just kind of a wrinkled skin. And then, of course, they start to fill out. I didn't really place that until this now, really. Because when you see a newborn, they, you know, when they cry or, you know, they got little wrinkled skin.
Right.
And then, as you age, you tend to revert back to those. I don't know if it's the original wrinkles that you were born with, or, you know, new ones, or, you know, old ones. I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting study.
Students in the Kabbalah Center when I was there, and he thought he was going to make a living doing professional scientific face and hand reading. So he took ink pattern of our palms, and then, you know, a year later, he'd do it again, and we'd compare the two. And there were changes in our lines. They were clear. Mm-hmm. What did they mean? He had an explanation. He had training in what they meant. But it was based in his training that this is a scientific tool. It wasn't that, you know, he was using his intuition to make the connection. He was using the rules that somebody was teaching him. Maybe it was correct, maybe it wasn't, and people decided for themselves whether they wanted to pay him for the reading or not. But it's there. You can see it. Go and take an ink pad, an ink roller, run it over your hand, and put the imprint on a piece of paper, and then put the piece of paper away for 2 or 3 or 5 years, and then do it again. See how your hand has changed. I guarantee you that your hand lines will have changed.
Well, I actually can see it on a daily basis or a yearly basis how it changes, just by visual.
Do it with your grandchildren. Do it with your children.
Mm-hmm.
Do it with their little palms, and do it every year, every 5 years. See what happens with the lines. Are there any other questions? You all have a good evening.
Okay, thank you.
Class is tomorrow on Thursday, 7 a.m. We're still doing the Psalms. And I'm thinking that we'll do the Psalms once the Shovavim period is over this Shabbat. Next week we'll do it on Friday morning. I will continue to do the Psalms, but just that one morning of the week.
Right. I'm enjoying the psalm.
I'm enjoying doing the classes as well. But I don't think people can keep up, and I don't think I can keep up with, 5 days a week for the rest of the year.
Yeah, no. Friday's fine. Okay.
And I may choose from time to time an evening time to do the Psalms as well, maybe another time during the week, but we'll have to wait and see. Like, if we didn't have any questions tonight, it would have been a good time to do that, to do one of the shorter Psalms. But usually we have
them missing in his PDF file. Like, I wanted to do a little bit more on the psalm on one of our readings that we do, and it's not there. So he doesn't have every one of them.
No, he only did the ones that he could do, and he still, all of his work is always what's the terminology? A work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually he will finish all of them. But, he's only can do what he can do. And so he's put this booklet together, this PDF file, and he has what he has, and he keeps adding to it. And every once in a while, I'll go and ask him for the new one, and then I'll replace it. And, we'll have to check.
When your forehead begins to look like a highway with a lot of roads, what is it?
It's the same as your legs that look like a highway, Max. They're even blue. Oh, my. I'm sorry I said that.
No, that's okay. It's true. But Bernice, you don't need to worry, because when your forehead looks like a highway, it's still your forehead. In order to see the lines on your forehead, you have to wrinkle your forehead. So the only time you really have to worry is when you no longer have to wrinkle your forehead. It's permanently lines on your forehead.
if you're in a car, what road do you take?
Maybe it's time for us to go to bed.
Yeah.
I think we'll get to the money good bar, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, gosh. Laughter does good like a medicine.
Amen. Amen. You all have a
good night.
Good night.
Good night. Shalom to you all.
I bet you've never had a class like us. Oh, bye, y'all.
Love you all. Keep laughing.
Amen.